Barry Young and Dan Picknell. Happy New Year to you both. How are you both?
Happy New Year. I'm good,
great,
thanks.
Thank you.
Barry, you look like we've lost you to New Zealand and you're such a treasure. We can't lose. You look like you're somewhere in San Francisco. What's happening in the background?
Yeah, I know it's good, isn't it? I'm just experimenting with the Zoom settings. So I had a haircut and everything, especially for this, and
Very
not quite as handsome as Dan though. So
Oh, I don't know.
normally I'm a scruff in the garden,
Baz,
just getting some
I
sun.
was in a cafe this morning, and this happens most days. It'll be about either one of you, actually, but often it'll be someone coming up to me, as happened this morning, saying, "How is Barry? He is such a hero." A lot of people, Dan, will come up and go, "I really appreciate Dan Picknell speaking out. I'm really not happy with the New Zealand police, what they've done." But Barry, most days I get a, "How is Barry? And what a hero you are. How brave you've been. How are you?"
Oh, it's nice to get all that. Just the other day in the car park, I was wearing my t-shirt. I can show you it. It's you might enjoy this one. So yeah, sorry about this. I'm just gotta. So I just got out the car, and some guy said, "Oh, you are what? You are what?" So it's you are fake news. You see?
You've
Oh.
disappeared.
I've disappeared there.
There you go.
So I'm getting a lot of support for the t-shirts and hats that I'm wearing.
It's amazing. We've actually got one we're going to push before your next appearance, which is the 23rd in Wellington. And it says Barry Young with a whistle on it. And it says, "Governments lie, data doesn't." And that's
That's
the
good.
key to what you're doing. You are offering New Zealand the truth about what's gone on in this country, and it's Ministry of Health data, and it's fully anonymized. So nobody's
Yeah,
privacy is threatened.
that's right.
It must always feel a little, well, deeply wrong. Dan, you were saying just before we came to air, you're upset that Barry is even going through this. Can you elaborate on that, Dan, as a former policeman?
Yeah, so I just think it's hugely unfair, to be honest, Liz. Barry's acted in the with the best of intention. And just as an example. And I'm not criticizing police because I've already said, there are a lot of good people still in there, but unfortunately it's been run by the wrong people at the moment. But it's not uncommon for police to act unlawfully in the execution of their duties, but with the best intention. And it may be that it's an illegal search. It could be breaching someone's Bill of Rights. And often those incidents are forgiven with no consequence. For me, I see that Barry saw something in his profession, and he witnessed thefts, excess thefts from something that he recognized was wrong. He tried to go to the people that should have listened. He got nowhere and he couldn't walk away from it. And he's allegedly acted unlawfully. And now he's been criminalized because of it for trying to save lives. I mean, and when you look at that, and you've got to ask yourself, from Barry's actions, who's been harmed? Who's been hurt? Who's been injured from what Barry's done? And yet he's the guy that's been turned on. And I find it hugely frustrating. For me, why is Barry not a witness for the police? And why are the police not looking at the Ministry of Health? It's all reversed and it's the wrong way around. And they're going after the guy that's trying to save lives, and the people that are trying to cover it up are being protected. And so, as I say, it's hugely frustrating. I think it's very unfair. And Barry's the kind of guy that if he saw something going down in the street, he'd probably try and help, or intervene if someone was in trouble, which is all he's done. And that's become a heinous crime, apparently. I find it
Can
frustrating.
the police actually prosecute the government?
Yes, they can.
That would be
But
a
the
great
police
avenue to
commissioner
go
is,
down.
yeah, but unfortunately, the police commissioner is failing to remain independent from the government. He has got the ability to investigate any minister and identify any crime. But, as I said in a previous interview with Liz, I was told quite early on that by a high-ranking police officer on behalf of the commissioner that the police don't investigate the government.
Mm.
So there's a big problem.
Yeah. It's a, yeah, who do the police serve?
Yeah. And that
I've
brings
been asking myself that question for a while now.
And then it brings in what else Barry tried to do, as well as notifying his employers, the Ministry of Health. He tried very hard, as I did, to notify Winston Peters. And we were told, and I don't want to make this a political partisan interview, because this is about all New Zealanders. This is about the freedom for all of us. So I'm calling on NZ First to join us and support Barry. But we've tried and tried to get through to Winston to at least talk to Barry, and now Steve Kirsch has said he would be happy, very happy, to talk to Winston as well and show him the signals that he's identified as a data analyst and his team over in America in the data that Barry has given us all as his gift to New Zealand. But how do we all feel about the COVID, inverted commas, inquiry? Because this is what the Golden Bay Choice magazine, I've been watching little media outlets around New Zealand. I thought this was a very strong comment just before Waitangi weekend. This afternoon, New Zealand First released the news that the government is expanding the terms of reference on the existing Royal Commission of Inquiry into the COVID-19 response. Now, we know that Jacinda Ardern's Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID was deeply, deeply flawed and absolutely without any teeth. So they go on to say, while the scope has broadened, it's extremely disappointing that these additional points are being tacked on to the edges of the problematic existing inquiry and not starting afresh with a new inquiry as promised. Your reaction, Barry, to the way this inquiry is set up?
Yeah, it's just totally wrong. Right from the bat, they should be looking at vaccine safety and effectiveness and whether or not it was the right thing for the job. Because if you look at it, the vaccine was only developed because they claimed there was no other alternative. And there's a huge amount of evidence that there are other alternatives to treat this disease. And it just got completely shut down. So they went down the vaccination route, and they're not even looking at whether it was has caused excess mortality. Like, you know, they are in the UK, they're starting to do that all over the world now. So it's a huge cover-up. They're not investigating anything. And to your point, Winston Peters, who I sent out a tweet the other day saying, you know, I do what you promised, right? When you came down to the freedom protests, do what you promised. You were on the news then. You said, you're not listening. If the media, if the politicians don't listen to these people, that is disgraceful. His words. And now he's doing the same to us now. It's like once you go into the chambers, you just forget what you said. And, you know, we need to hold him to account for that. But it's not just Winston. It's any MP I would talk to happily. I've risked everything to get this data. I'm getting no benefit from it. So any MP, anyone at all, whatever party you're in, just reach out and I will happily show this to you. This thing is a killer. It's killing your people. And why the government just say, oh, we've already debunked it. It's how can you debunk your own data? It's your data for a start. It's a government data. It's a people's data. And you can't debunk it when you haven't even looked at it.
Absolutely.
It's like in record time in the UK, when Bridgen said, he was looking at the New Zealand data, the Minister of Health in the UK said, we've already debunked that. And when they say that, it's like the population just go along with it. They just hear it's already been debunked and it's just all made up data. And a lot of them just believe it. You know, they just go along with it because that's what the officials said. It's crazy. Nobody questions it. Rich Guy Sunak stood at the dispatch box in parliamentary question time in the UK House of Commons. And he said, at question time, he said, this is a safe vaccine. He never said safe and effective, like it's always been in the past. So you missed that one out. But he said, this is a safe vaccine, even though it's provable now that it's not. And there's data coming out. I've done some analysis. It's if you have four doses, you are 7 times more likely to die. That's your mortality rate goes up 7 times. And that's across the board. That's the same people getting dose number one, dose number two, dose number three, dose number four. So it's not people coming in randomly all over the place. I've narrowed it down. So you're looking at the same cohort, the same group of people. So dose one, dose two, three, four, the same group of people, same ages, same average age. And if you've had four now, you're 7 times more likely to die.
That is, it just keeps shocking. And Andrew Bridgen said to me when I last talked to him, Barry, that the New Zealand data and the UK data are absolutely in alignment on excess deaths as well. So the countries are starting to line up where there is some honest data coming out, the data that he's been accessing. If we have other epidemiologists who would like to look at this data as well and break it down in different ways, please contact us. But shouldn't the Ministry of Health be putting this out for all of us to have a look at and decide for ourselves? They're telling us it's safe and effective, this jab. Put out the data. If it's so safe and effective, the data will show that. But let us have a look. Dan, what's your reaction to what Barry just said? 7 times more likely by dose four to die.
It's horrific. How can we keep ignoring it? I'm pretty sure everybody knows someone who, if someone hasn't passed away, who's got some type of health problem now that is most likely can be attributed to this. And just going back to the Royal Commission of Inquiry, there's some serious flaws in that. And, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from all of the good people who have worked very, very hard to try and make it become something. But when you consider that the inquiry, the terms of reference are set by the government, the commissioners who lead the inquiry are appointed by the government. Those commissioners, once working on the inquiry and at the completion of it, answer to the Governor-General, not the government. But the Governor-General is appointed on recommendation by the government to the King. So there's this big circle of conflict going around where the people that are setting the terms of reference are potentially implicated in some of the harms that have occurred through their actions. Another concern of the inquiry is that whatever the findings are, they're not binding, and they are not. There's no liability directed from it. So all they're looking to do is look how we can do things better next time we have an alleged pandemic. So we're not addressing the issues that are going on right now, from my perspective, unless they're going to surprise me. But we're going through a motion of, oh, well, we could have done things better. And this is what I was told by the police recently when I asked why they were still not investigating my concerns. And they directed me to that inquiry so that we could look how we can all do things better next time. People are dying right now.
Yeah. And when you say better, you mean they're going to get the vaccines out earlier and more vaccines into people's arms, which is crazy. It's like you can just see that this isn't working. And if you tell people now, the government is complicit in killing people. So to me, it's shocking that the government won't even look at it. They will not even look at it or address it. And yet the evidence, the mountains of evidence all over the world is saying that this vaccine is killing people, and yet they're still going ahead with it. What does that say? Why are they doing this? It's crazy.
Look at all our former employers. I mean, yours is the Ministry of Health. They won't look at it openly with the public. Yours is the police, Dan. They won't look at it openly and honestly with the public. Mine is the mainstream media. They won't look at it openly and honestly with the public. And those supporting Winston Peters saying he'll save us will not look at it politically as yet another whitewash. I've done many interviews with those when I was in mainstream where these reports would come out, you know, on SIFs, on child abuse, on all sorts of things, and they just go on a shelf in Parliament and gather dust. Nothing comes from them. There's a little interview at the end of it, and there's a little hoo-ha with an article in the paper or two. Nothing happens. The public go on, and the same bad patterns are allowed within government. It's a con.
I think, my question would be, okay, so say the inquiry decides to look at the Ministry of Health data and has it analysed by people who are capable of doing it properly, and say that they actually scrutinise the contracts, the supply contracts for these products. And specifically, I'd refer to the South African Pfizer contract, which ex-UK police investigator Mark Sexton has been talking about recently. So within that contract, Pfizer never promised the long-term efficacy or safety when you read it, because they said they don't know what the long-term efficacy will be, potential, reactions. So our ministers and our health experts that viewed that contract at the very beginning and agreed to the terms and then publicly told us that it was all safe and effective and tested and all the rest of it, these people are potentially looking at criminal liability. And there's a lot of politicians involved in that. So the inquiry that we've got going could potentially implicate them.
Absolutely. And when I say it's a con, when you don't include all the jab injured who desperately want to have their voices heard, Dan, and whom I've interviewed, they need to have an inquiry that will get them in front of the inquiry talking about the lack of safety that they experienced at the tip of this needle. And we don't have that capacity. Now, I'm interested, Barry, they're saying within NZ First, for example, that you can make your submissions about the inquiry. But my understanding is you can't widen the terms of the inquiry into including safety. Mm. So the submissions will be falling on deaf ears.
It's a whitewash. So the only real avenue that we've got left, one of them avenues, is that the court case at the trial, we can subpoena or whatever, we can call the witnesses of the government, and that is Helen Patricia Harris, to the stand and ask them questions. Mm. Put them on the stand, because they'll be on trial just as much as me. And if they refuse to stand in that witness box and be questioned, then what does that say about the government? What are they going to hide? So if they do that, that then gives us, we can then say what we want. If they refuse to rebut our evidence, then that means that we hold the fort. You know, it's us against them. So if they're not going to put up any credible witnesses, any experts, so-called experts, that we can't cross-examine, then it's game over for them. So that is a great avenue for us, the court case. But whether it will come to that and when it will happen, who knows? They're talking a long, long time. So the next case, it's just a case review on the 23rd, and then we don't know what's going to happen after. It might be 500 days. And Dan, you probably know about this more than me. The prosecution, the length of time it takes to get to court can be years. So, you know, if they do that, if they delay it, it's probably their best policy. And they'll just hope that I just go away. But if and when it does come to court, then we'll have to make all this relevant again. We might be in the next pandemic by then. I don't know. But this data is all relevant now, and we need to look at it now, and we need to ascertain, yes, it is killing people. People are dying. So let's just get the momentum going and say, never again. We cannot let this happen again. And the other thing is, we can take the government to trial. We can try them, like Dan said, get the police involved to bring them to court, prosecute the government, prosecute Fauci. All of the ones. It's terrible what they've done.
Dan, your reaction?
Yeah. I'd just say at the moment that won't happen. We need a change of commissioner. We need one that is prepared to do their job, regardless of who's influencing them or who's paying their salary. And that's a real problem, because this is something that's occurring all around the world. When you consider a lot of people in every country in the world that were told they were going to be having these jabs didn't particularly want them, but with the assistance of police all over the world, these governments were able to carry out this plan, because without the police enforcing these rules and finding people and, you know, all of these policies that came with the COVID situation, where would they be? They'd be back to people having free choice. And most people would have chosen, I suspect, not to have taken an experimental product. So, you know, until the police situation is addressed, we're struggling. And the government are using the police as their enforcement arm, which is not what the police should be doing. And just quickly on the Royal Inquiry, you know, some of the terms of reference are quite broad. So, and I have heard it said that, you know, safety could come under the health impacts of New Zealanders. And that would be great if it did, but ultimately it's got no teeth. Nobody can be found liable or responsible from their findings. So what are we doing? Are we just wasting time or, you know, should we be looking elsewhere? Are we being distracted by this? I don't know. I mean, it may serve to educate a few more people in the public that mistakes were made, but I don't think it's going to focus in on the real issues, that people are still dying. You know, people within our government were dishonest. And now that to me, they're directing the inquiry away from themselves and their personal liabilities.
I think that's brilliantly said. And I think the other thing to remember is Barry's data is not included in this. What I cannot understand is if this new government in its first 100 days really wanted to show us that they were genuine and sincere, they would have said we must make a central part of this inquiry to show that we are genuine. We must make it around the Ministry of Health data that Barry Young has brought to the New Zealand public's attention. And yet it's just not there. And that really breaks my heart, Barry. When I first saw what you showed me all those months ago, my first thought was, I cannot look away from this. Because if I was to walk out of this meeting and say, Barry, I don't want to cover the story, that's partly on my head then, that people continue to die. I remember that moment watching the screen thinking, you've got no choice, Liz. You've got to do everything you can to help this man, this brave man, get his truth out so that maybe we could stop another mother or father or grandmother or brother from dying before Christmas. And we put it out before Christmas and they denied it. And people keep dying.
There is a cloud. There is a silver lining on it. With the Dole's numbers, they're dropping exponentially. The people who get Dole's, so Dole's number 5, there are only a few thousand, whereas Dole's number 1 and 2, they were in the millions on my data set anyway. So if you look at the graph, it basically drops precipitously. So people instinctively know, I believe it in my heart, people, even though they don't want to admit it, they might not connect the dots, but they know in their hearts, they think, well, I'm not getting another dose. I've had my 2 jabs. I'm not getting another one. And there's so many people who say that. They just know something's not right. So, yeah, I mean, the data shows that 1 and 2, yeah, loads, 90% of the population of New Zealand got that. Doses 3, 4, 5, 6, they are only giving it to the people in the rest homes. And that is heartbreaking. That is so, so sad. It's because they're the people who say, oh, they're the ones who are most at risk. They're the elderly. And they're the last ones you should be giving this thing to, because they're the ones who are dying in their clusters. You know, in the first data I showed you was just one jab after another in the same place at the same time by the same person doing the vaccinating, just within minutes, jabbing one after the other, boom, 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 boom. They're all now dead. And these were old people in rest homes. And that's what they're doing. And that's why that's who are they are alleging to protect. The elderly and the sick. And the thing is, you can't win that argument when you say, oh, it's meant for them, when they're the ones who are having the excess mortality. It's a no-win argument. So they come back and they say that, well, they were old and they were sick, they were going to die anyway, that their argument then becomes, okay, so they're old and sick, you vaccinated them, they died anyway, therefore the vaccine is safe and effective. How the F does that make sense?
It doesn't.
No, no, absolutely not.
Absolutely.
So basically the vaccine, the people died, the vaccine works. I struggle with that.
Dan, it's what you said earlier, Dan, everything upside down. Everything upside down and cynically exploitative. What it's showing is a lack of care of New Zealanders, and we New Zealanders need to stand up and demand a much better standard of care from these people we've supposedly voted in. Can we say, though, Barry, there were also many young people in there? I know that we went through from the fives, the sixes, was maybe for the fives half a page of dead, sixes half a page. By about the nines and 10-year-olds, it was starting to fill up a whole page. And I can never forget seeing the 20-plus-year-olds, and they were just filling pages of that data that we were looking at. So there are many young people in there, aren't there? Many young, yeah, as well as the old.
There are, but we need to do more analysis on those age groups. I was only looking at the clusters, and that was what first caught my attention, just seeing the clusters in the rest homes. And those are generally elderly people, and I get that. Their mortality rate is a lot higher. But for them all basically to die within a year after being jabbed within seconds or minutes of each other, that is statistically almost impossible. So that is what first caught my attention. And yes, there are age groups that we can look at. We can slice and dice this data almost any way you can. And, you know, the government just to say, oh, it's debunked is ridiculous. It is an amazingly strong data set with very high fidelity. We can record a lot of information in there. We can extract a lot of statistical evidence from it. And yeah, we haven't really looked at the young ones, but that is something that we will have to do, yes. And there is probably excess mortality across the board.
People like Steve Kirsch and Alex Jones and Mike Adams, they can see from overseas, Dan, that this is a very special, unusual situation to have New Zealand and have its data like this available, that this won't be available from many other countries. This should be widely disseminated across the world and discussed openly with no censorship. How do we get there, Dan, from this horrific, censored New Zealand of suppression, pretense, and then, as you say, creating a criminality of somebody who is absolutely a hero bringing this to us all? How do we get past this, do you think?
I think it's been got past overseas. We're just in this isolated part of the world that we are in. We can't get past it. We're ring-fenced, and so we're having our information strictly controlled. And yeah, as I say, I think it's gained a lot of attention overseas, and yet the people living in this environment right here who are suffering it are having that information suppressed, and they've got very limited options. If you're not aware that there's alternative avenues to find out information from, then you're reliant on the mainstream media outlets. And so it's going to be very difficult, actually. I don't have the answer for it. Steve Kirsch has been getting harassment from Ministry of Health lawyers. He's offered to sit down with the Ministry of Health and their lawyers and go through everything. And also, if is anything that they say where he's identified anybody's identity, he would remove it immediately. And yet they won't engage with him on that. So what are they hiding from? It couldn't be more open and, you know, come and talk to me. And if you feel that validated Ministry of Health in your position, why aren't you doing that?
Yeah, they're focusing on the identities of the people who, you know, have been, who are no longer with us, or if you can identify someone who may have been vaccinated, they're saying, look here, don't look here. It's like they're ignoring the elephant in the room. but just saying the guy has breached data. Your grandmother's details might be on. They're not. Nobody's data. And they said that they cannot identify a single person. They've got a whole team looking at it. They might as well be from NASA or something like that. And they're saying that potentially there is a remote possibility that someone might be identified. That's like three levels of extrapolation, and they still haven't said affirmatively 100% that they can't identify anyone. But that's their focus. That's their whole game is now saying, you've identified someone. How dare you? And even if that was the case, that is just a breach of my employment contract. As breaking the law goes, it's a slap on the wrist. What I'm being charged with is not what they are going on about. What I'm being charged with is something completely different. And it's something that they haven't got a hope in hell of proving.
Articulate what it is for people who are not aware, Barry.
It's Section 249 of the Crimes Act 1961, where I'm charged with stealing data with the intent of making a benefit from it, basically. So they say, yep, took the data. It's New Zealand's data anyway. I fundamentally in my heart believe that it belongs to the people of New Zealand. And it literally is. I mean, if a guy walks in off the street into a vaccination center and all his information is recorded, it's his data, right? It's him on the database. So it belongs to him or her. So yes, I fundamentally think being a public servant, I owe my duty, my allegiances to the people of New Zealand. So yes, I'm not stealing data. I'm just returning it to its rightful owner.
And beyond that, Barry, I would add that it's you who built the whole database. So one could argue it's your database as well as one of the people of New Zealand. It is a ludicrous charge, and it points to great panic in the Ministry of Health. They've made a massive misstep here trying to cover up something that they do not want the New Zealand public to see. That alone should be enough for the New Zealand public to insist it is published. Beyond that, let's look at privacy. In the time of the rollout of Jacinda's ghastly COVID response, her apartheid system, we all had to tell everybody our private medical information. If we went to a bar, if I wanted a haircut, as she said, if I wanted to go to my gym, I had to say whether I'd had a deeply personal jab or not. They didn't give a damn about my medical privacy then.
Yeah, that's so true. That was another project I was involved with, the vaccination passport. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of data that was recorded for that. And they didn't really care much about it, that those people's details were just being bandied about. And you know, it is interesting that we had to go down this avenue, that we couldn't function as a society, we couldn't do what we wanted to do without this procedure and this passport and this Orwellian nightmare, that we had to have an app on our phones to scan in just so we could get a haircut or whatever, you know. That is so bizarre. That is against the Bill of Rights. You know, the thing that had the Nuremberg Code, that you are, your fundamental right as a human being is to decide what you put in your body. And that was transferred into the Bill of Rights. It's written on the courthouse. It's one of the very first lines in the wall of the courthouse, saying that you, as your Bill of Rights as a human being, have the right to decide what goes in your body. And then for them to turn around and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, unless you have this thing in your body. That is like, it's very 1939, you know, that's like the ghetto. This is a terrible path that we went down.
Someone said to me this morning when she came up in another cafe, it's people are pretending it didn't happen or it's all gone away. But she said, it hasn't gone away. I lost most of my friends from that period. I'm deeply hurt by what went on. I was completely discriminated against simply standing up for what I wanted in my body or didn't want. So the deep hurt, I believe, will not be healed by this inquiry because it just, its terms of reference are too token, too narrow, and too much, I think, Dan, to try to shut us down rather than open up these massive, wider conversations. Dan, your predictions on this inquiry, where do you think it will land?
Nowhere near the mark. That's all I could, that's how I feel. It'll probably say a few things about, we were a bit harsh maybe on our lockdowns and whatever. But let's address all of the issues, starting at the faulty PCR testing all the way through, the false impression of a pandemic to start with. I mean, the whole thing's fraudulent. If we're not going to address these things, why are we wasting our time? And really what I would say is the only way to beat this is next time our next pandemic comes, which, maybe it's disease X or whatever they want to call it, we just don't buy into it. And when the pressure comes on, we don't buy into it in numbers. And then what do? We don't want their poison anymore. So it's pretty straightforward to me. The answer is very easy, and it's peaceful non-compliance in large numbers. But whether there's an appetite for that yet, I don't know.
Well said, Dan. And the other answer is that we mass in large numbers in Wellington. Unfortunately, I can't be there at the next one, Barry, but I will be there at all the others. A mass in large numbers in Wellington to support Barry Young, our hero. It's on the 23rd that you appear, 10 o'clock in the Wellington District Court. Is that right, Barry?
Yeah, I believe so. I wish I didn't have to go either.
And on the ridiculous idea that you are getting some benefit, I have offered you funds personally and you absolutely reject them.
I cannot obtain any benefit. I didn't intend to. I never wanted that. So for them to charge me with the intention of obtaining the benefit is, it's just not going to fly. There's no way. I've lost a very good, very highly paid job to bring this to the world. So there's no benefit. And I never intended to get any benefit. And they'll struggle to prove that unless people shove money at me or whatever, I'll put it somehow in my bank account or whatever. There's nothing I want. I cannot take any money and I don't want it. So keep your money. If anyone wants to donate, if they feel the urge, they should give it to New Zealand Loyal.
Thank you.
You deserve it more than anything. You really do for what you've done.
I appreciate that, but we are asking people in the country and around the world to donate to nzloyal.org.nz. And if you wanted to go to Barry's legal fees, just put WB, whistleblower, or Barry, whatever you want. And we are paying at least some of the legal fees that add up very quickly, even before Christmas, 17,000 we put towards it. It adds up. But we need him to have a very good legal team to defend these ridiculous charges. Please support Barry on the 23rd. And last time, Dan, it was absolutely wonderful. When he walked in the court, a spontaneous applause. When he walked out of the court, a spontaneous applause. And downstairs, so much love. It was heartening for you, Baz, wasn't it?
It was a beautiful day. It really was. I've never felt anything like it. So I've never been to court in my life. I've never been charged with anything. I've broken the law. So I think if you are going to do something like that, you go big or go home. And that was like a movie set. It was unbelievable. Like cameras everywhere and people just so much love, like you said. It was an incredible experience. That filled my heart with love. But I think going forward, I just want to say, I think 2024 is going to be a hell of an interesting year. And if they do try and pull this again with disease X or whatever you say, I think people are going to be more reluctant. I really do. Just looking at the data, looking at the number of people who are getting the later doses, the boosters, there are not that many. And I don't think, you know, they're going to be the mass population is going to be so gullible next time. I really don't. And that's a positive thing in my book. I don't think they'll be that gullible.
It's wonderful to talk to you both. We'll keep in touch through the year. And thank you, Dan. Thank you, Barry, both of you heroes. To many New Zealanders giving hope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.